all hell broke loose. And I'm not cussing. I'm analyzing. When God stepped aside and told man, you just have at it, all hell broke loose. If you don't believe that, read verses 19, 30, and 31. That list of 22 sins there, if that's not hell on earth, I don't know what is. And I'll tell you this, you can get a newspaper today and find a headline for every sin in those three verses. Now that's where we've gotten to. There have always been people who denied that there is an objective moral order in this world. There have always been people who've denied that there is a supernatural revelation telling us how to live, think, act. The problem is about half the country now believes that. And that's why you read headlines last week, a lady beheaded on the streets of San Carlos, California. I used to live down the street from San Carlos, California. Beheaded by some guy she didn't know in front of her children. And that's why you read every other week about a Disney employee or groups of employees being arrested for child molestation, exploitation. And that's why you have people nominated to the Supreme Court. Look at verse 28 of Romans 1. I'm reading from the King James. It says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. Now in the Greek, the word translated did not like, now it contains the negative, but did like is the same Greek word as that translated debased. And the point Paul is making is that when we misuse the mind that God gives us, when we refuse to use it correctly, we lose the use of it. When we look at God, whom we should worship and approve and adore and glorify and praise, and we don't give Him that, our mind gets to where it can't tell the difference between sewer gas and Chanel number 5. And so you nominate a person to the Supreme Court, you ask them, how many sexes are there? I don't know. You ask another nominee some government position, can men get pregnant? Yes. That's the kind of thinking you get when men refuse to glorify God and are determined to go their own way. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools, and that's all it takes to get appointed to the Supreme Court today. We need a place to stand. Let me tell you why I think Christianity is worth defending. It's because it's the only belief system, the only worldview, the only religion rooted in reality. You understand that? Christianity is the only religion that corresponds to truth. Our faith is founded on fact. You know what Hinduism, Buddhism, and Islam are founded on? They are founded on philosophies. They are founded on opinions. Neither Buddha nor Muhammad nor the founder of any other religion presented their teachings and said something like this. Now, the proof that what I'm saying is true, I'm going to demonstrate by the fact 3 days after I'm dead, I come back to life. Jesus is the only founder of any religion who linked all of his claims and all of his teachings to the fact that 3 days after he died, he would leave the grave. He based his faith, his teaching on an historical fact. His resurrection. Now the crucifixion is the heart of Christianity. The crucifixion is the most important thing that ever happened. The resurrection is the event that proves the crucifixion is the most important thing that ever happened. When you ask a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Muslim to prove their religion, here's what they do. They'll say something like this: well, you pray about it, and God will reveal to your heart the truth of this religion. That's the best they can do. I don't say that. I say, if you want me to prove to you why I believe Christianity is the faith, let's look at the facts. Let's look at the historical evidence that Christianity alone can offer that no other religion has. Our faith is founded on fact. And what we're going to be doing in these studies are looking at the facts. What we've got to do is to marshal the brute facts of history, of human experience. And it's on those facts that my faith rests. I tell you what, if Christ wasn't raised from the grave, all the nice things that Timothy said about Jesus a little bit ago, we wouldn't be here this morning, and Timothy wouldn't be up here saying those things if Jesus Christ was not raised from the grave. Now, we're in a mess in this country. You know how we got here? Didn't happen overnight. I'll tell you how we got here. In the 18th century, men killed the Bible. The founding fathers, most of them in this country, were not Christian, they were deists. Ben Franklin, Thomas Paine, Thomas Jefferson, Washington to some extent, they were not Christian, they were deists. Deists believe that there's a God who exists, but they don't believe that God has revealed himself in a special revelation. They don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. Thomas Jefferson took a Bible, sat down, cut out all of the supernatural and miraculous elements, and that became known what was left over as the Jefferson Bible, and he believed all that we need out of the Bible are the nice moral teachings and principles to guide us in our dealings in society. He took all the supernatural out. They killed the Bible in the 18th century. The founding fathers, surprisingly, sometimes were Christian in spite of themselves. But they killed the Bible in the 18th century. In the 19th century, they killed God. Friedrich Nietzsche, in his book, The Joyful Science, for Leaky Wissenschaft, said, "We have killed God." In the 19th century, when men looked at nature, they didn't see nature's God. Isn't that how Jefferson described it in the Declaration? Nature's God. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. You know, he's being Christian there in spite of himself. In the 19th century, when men looked at nature, they didn't see nature's God. They saw a scenario where the fittest survived. The survival of the fittest, where might made right. And Nietzsche was the Austrian philosopher who said, "We've killed God. We don't need God." Darwin did a great deal to kill God in the 19th century. There was a little Austrian house painter who read Nietzsche, who read what Nietzsche had to say about killing God. Nietzsche also talked about being a superman, how man can make himself his own God, a superman. And this little house painter decided he was a superman, decided he had the right to determine for everybody their beliefs, their morality, what was right and was wrong. One of the things he decided is that Jews were nothing but insects, and he proceeded to exterminate 6 million of them. the result of the Bible being killed in the 18th century, God being killed in the 19th century, is that in the 20th century, man was killed. There was greater destruction of man by his fellows in the 20th century than in all of recorded history up to that time. And it's continued into the 21st century. Because man has turned from God, refusing to glorify Him as God. Man is no longer considered a special creation made in the image of God. Man's just another form of animal that can be dealt with at the behest of the strongest. When you take God out of the equation, you know who makes the rules? The strongest guy around. He's the one who makes the rules for everybody else. That's how we've gotten where we are, and we need to get back to God. And I'm going to argue in the next three lessons the evidence, the facts, the historical facts for believing that Jesus was raised from the dead. And let me close this morning by saying three things. Number one, the resurrection is the foundation of Christianity. That is the fundamental proposition, fact on which Christianity rests. Take the resurrection out of Christianity, we don't have Christianity. Number two, the historical evidence, the historical facts for Christianity, like any sort of ancient testimony, ancient evidence, come to us through human agents. There's no way around it. We know Jesus was raised from the dead the same way we know Caesar crossed the Rubicon. The same way we know that William was the conqueror at the Battle of Hastings. The same way we know that Nelson fought at Trafalgar. The facts of the past are communicated to us through human testimony. And we're going to look at the New Testament documents in the class here in just a minute. And then the third thing I want to say, this is the most important thing, I'll elaborate on this in the following lessons. Christianity is proven by scientific proof. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. John opens his first epistle the way he opens his gospel by talking about the incarnation of the Son of God. And John says this in verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested and we have seen, bear witness, declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now that's the scientific method. The scientific method involves the use of the senses. Now, there's some knowledge we are born with innately. God pre-programs us with some knowledge. You don't go to school to learn you can't walk in two different directions at the same time. We have that reasoning already inside us. But a lot of information is acquired through the use of our senses. And using your senses to learn, to know something, is science. And John here talks about the one he saw, the one he heard, the one he handled. The resurrection was a supernatural event. Death was a natural event. Everyone here is capable of determining if a person's dead. You don't have to be a doctor. I don't care if you even went to school. If somebody drops dead, you've got the ability to figure that out. I was sitting next to my mother, I was standing next to my uncle when they both died. I knew they were dead. And I'll tell you what you also have the ability to determine, and that's whether or not somebody's alive. Jesus said, I'm going to die, and then I'm going to come back from the grave. And the way his coming back from the grave was determined was by men seeing him, men hearing him, men touching him, men eating with him, men being around. The same way we determine anybody's alive is how Jesus Christ was determined to be alive after he was dead. That's how the fact of the resurrection is established. Doesn't take any kind of special reasoning. Doesn't take any kind of theological hocus pocus. It just takes the use of our natural senses. And then you know what scientists do after they've used their senses to perform experiments to acquire knowledge? They write it up. They publish it. And that's what John said we did. I'm writing about what we heard, what we saw, what we handled, so that you may have fellowship with us. That's the scientific method. Christianity is a scientifically proven religion. Atheism isn't. The idea that you can get life from non-life has never been scientifically proven, try as they might. So I'll be talking about all this, and I appreciate the opportunity to spend this time with you. And I hope as a result of our studies that you'll come to believe that you need to build your life. We're all betting our life on something. I'm betting my life on Jesus Christ because the evidence shows beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was raised from the dead. And if you have that conviction in your heart now and you're wanting to act in obedience, being baptized, united with your Lord in baptism, on the basis of your faith in the resurrection of Christ, we can help you right now if you want. If you need to come, we hope you will, while together we stand and while we sing.
We saw thee not without his